Let's turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're entering a new phase of life here in this new year. Amen. And so we want to talk about, we're going to start here with Joshua. And Joshua and Israel were on the verge of entering the promised land. And the promised land is not a type of heaven, it's a type of salvation, because in the promise in heaven there will be no more wars or battles. Amen. It'll be perfect peace there. There'll be no sin nature there in the new heaven and the new earth. But now there is. And in the promised land is simply a land that God had promised Israel that they would conquer, and God would give them that land forever. Praise God. And I don't care what wars have been fought over it, it's still God's country, God's land. Praise the Lord. But as we enter a time of a new year, amen, God wants us to do so in faith, just as he didn't ask Israel here to enter the promised land in faith, that he could do everything. And there's not any problem you'll face this year that God is not the author, is not more powerful than. He's a mighty God. We can trust him. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Father, I thank you, God, for your word today. I pray that your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon to bring the truth, God. I pray that you talk to the heart as only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Entering the promised land. Israel was on the brink of entering the promised land that God had promised them. And they had just completed 4 years of wandering in the wilderness of unbelief. And a new generation had come up, and these people were ready to enter the promised land. But they had to be told that you've got to trust God, and you've got to put God first, and you've got to put God's word first. And guaranteed success depended upon their obedience to God's commands and the law here, the Ten Commandments. If they didn't obey, then they would be no different to the people that they were going in, that God had, a land that God had conquered them. You see, Canaan's land was a land that was come up for the judgment. The iniquity of the Amorites was complete, and God would judge this land. And so God told them, "You go in there, and I'm going to help you conquer this land." And so if they did not heed to God's commands, the Ten Commandments, then they would become just like the people that God sent them in to judge. Okay? It was God's will for them to be successful, victorious, and be blessed. And he encouraged them to move forward in full confidence that he was with them. Praise the Lord. Let's back up a few verses here in Joshua 1, chapter 5. Let's look at a couple of things here. "Nor shall any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life." That's quite a promise. Amen. "No man shall, all the days of your, I will be as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Those are great promises that Joshua and Israel needed to hear. Moses had been a mighty man of God. Amen. He is one God that, God said of Moses one time, said, "I speak to prophets through dreams and visions, but I speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend." That's really beyond my imagination, but yet God made it where Moses could look upon him and live. Else the glory of God would be too strong for humanity. It takes a glorified body. And so God tells Joshua, said, "I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. I'm going to take you to this land, and you're going to be successful." Praise the Lord. And so they could not be successful, could not have victory, could not have God's blessings if they became like the Canaanite idolaters. And here, church, we are on the brink of entering a new year with new challenges, but maybe on the brink of heaven. Amen. We preach, and I've heard all my life, that Jesus is coming soon. You say, "Well, it hadn't been very soon if it hadn't come by now." Well, yeah, it is soon. The Bible says today, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with Christ, or with God. And so I don't know when Jesus is coming. I've heard people try to predict his coming. All of them have been wrong. so far. And if God did not tell the angels and nobody but his son, I doubt if he's told me or you what day and he's coming. He's just told us to be ready any day and every day, because he could come anytime. And so here we are in the brink of entering a new year with new challenges. But we as believers must not embrace the sinful values of this world system, but we must be in pursuit of God. You know, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And so we as believers cannot embrace the sinful values of a fallen world system. And yet we can be victorious and successful as we pursue God. First, I want to talk to you about, let me just introduce the first point with a question. I think I know the answer before I ask it. But do you want to be successful this year? God promises here in verse 8, that last part of that verse, you shall have good success. That is on the condition that you, the book of the law is not departing from your mouth, the word of God being there. And success would not happen without divine guidance. And my friend, as a believer, as a Christian, if you want to be successful, yes, you do. And let me tell you something. Success doesn't always have dollar signs behind it. Some people interpret it that way. It's wrong. But we must have divine guidance, must be committed to holy living, committed to prayer, and committed to be a student of God's Word. You say, well, I know what the Word of God says. Yes, you may know what it says. But yet, have you read it through? How many of you have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, read it through completely? God bless you. Amen. Man, you can do this. Let me tell you how. Just read it. Wasn't that wisdom? Let me give you just kind of, this is a side note here, but you can read it through completely in a year if you'll read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. Or you can read 3 chapters a day and a psalm a day. Like this, 2 in the Old Testament, 1 in the New, and a psalm. You'll read it through in a year. Amen. And so if you want to read it one through in one day, it only has 1,189 chapters. Anyway, but if you fill your mind up with the Word of God and with the truth, you won't be carried away by the false things of society. Praise God. Now God is saying, look, keep the law, don't deviate from the law of God. Here he's telling Israel. For it is by this observing it day and night and meditating in it, that you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. And so if they wanted to be successful in conquering Canaan's land, they had to have God first. They had to stand by his word. They had to stand by his commandments, or else they began to break all of his commandments. Sadly, they did. But yet, this was God's instruction for them. Amen. Let me ask you today, do you want success this coming year? Do you want success in your marriage? Do you want better communication in your marriage? Do you want success in your job, in your business? Do you want your testimony for Christ to be successful? I think we can say yes to all of those. Amen. Then fill your mind, your day, your activity with the truth of God's Word. No, you can't go around reading the Bible all the time, but you can find some time. You see, we make time for things that we want to do bad enough, don't we? Amen. If I really go fishing, I'll make time for it. It's not going to be on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Amen. You get my drift. But we all want to be successful. If we want to, if we'll fill our mind with God's word and realize the difference between right and wrong and follow the right instead of the wrong, then God will help us to be successful. Amen. We have all types of ideas of what success is. A few years ago, I listened to a false teaching. I was never convinced by it. But the man that was teaching this, he was saying the title of his ministry, if you'd call it that, was Success in Life. But everything he dealt with had dollar signs behind it. If you'll give me this, you'll give me that, you'll send this to my ministry, and then God will bless you. I wanted to send him a letter and say, if you'll send money to my ministry, then God will bless you. I didn't, but... But you see, what problems in society could be solved if the Ten Commandments were on every billboard? And be solved today. You know, people pursuing an immoral life, if they drove down the highway and saw in big letters, thou shalt not commit adultery, that is a deviant. They might go ahead and do it, but they were going to remember what God said about it. He didn't like it. Okay? Or, you know, if we'd fill our mind with the Word of God, and if society today would go by the Ten Commandments, how many problems would be solved? Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How many marriage problems would be solved if we just obey that? What would be the answer to society if we said, thou shalt not steal? Amen. And that God said, thou shalt not. He didn't say it's okay to steal a little bit. Thou shalt not steal. If we would meditate, here it says here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in. That means to quietly whisper the commandments of God over and over in you. Amen. And God wanted the Ten Commandments to be before them everywhere. He said, you're going to put it on your doorpost. You're going to write it on the house, on your house, on your walls in your house. It does say that in Deuteronomy 6, I believe. And so God said to do that. And so they could have success, and it was God's will for them to be successful, and it's God's will for you to be successful. Amen. And let's look at an example of this. Before the Ten Commandments, Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph is a wonderful example of a person trying to live right in a godless society. He lived in Egypt, and he was sold there as a slave by his brothers into Egypt. And Egypt was not a godly place. Matter of fact, Egypt is a type of the sinful world throughout Scripture. Amen. And so Joseph was there, and he was successful. He was purchased as a slave by Potiphar. And he was doing good in the house, but Potiphar's wife thought he was a nice-looking young man, and she began to tempt him to do immoral things. And he said no. And so he's an example of a man that wasn't afraid to stand up and say no about what he knew was wrong. It's what we need to do. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph, and God made him to prosper. And because of false accusations of Miss Potiphar, he ended up in prison. But even in prison, he was a successful man. And time and again it says in that passage about Joseph, but God was with him. Because God knows no barriers, prison walls, nothing stops God from being present. And he was successful in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And we know that he endured prison life for a long time there, but one day he was graduated from prisoner to prime minister in Egypt. That's what God can do. That's success. And it wasn't because Joseph strayed from the way. It's just because he kept the faith and kept on living for God no matter what. And God was with him. He had success. He was successful as a slave. Matter of fact, they put him over the prisoners. And yet, God was with Joseph. And the key to his success was he was a faithful man to God. Amen. And so God promises to do that. If we'll be faithful to God and to his word, he will make us successful. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, worthless, or empty. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God, you got God's word. If you follow him, walk with him, he's going to help you to be successful. Praise the Lord in his definition of success, not ours. Second, God wanted Israel to be victorious and prosperous. And God wants you to be victorious, and God wants you to be prosperous this year. Don't put dollar signs behind everything. But yet God can bless you financially. I know he can and does. Praise the Lord. But they were entering a place they had never been, just like you are entering a year you've never been here. You've entered New Year's, but you had never entered this new year. And so they were entering a place they had never been. They were going to Canaan's land. They were going to be around people they were not familiar with, and languages they were not familiar with, and activity and behavior that they were not familiar with. And they would see things they had never seen. They would have to have faith like never before, because they would have challenges that they'd never had, or had not to this extent. They would see giant peoples, large peoples. We can gather that by Goliath of Gath was 9 feet high. You know, and I've read about one guy in the Bible had 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. I don't know if he went to the shoe store or not, but anyway. And so there were things that they had never seen. There were walled cities, powerful armies. And yet God had said, you're going to go there in Canaan's land. I'm going to give you victory, and I'm going to give you victory over all this land. And I'm sure a few people walked in and said, I don't see any victory in this land. Those people are big. Their cities are walled. They're protected well. They got powerful armies. They got powerful forces there. I don't see how that we're going to be successful here. I don't see how we're going to be victorious here. How can we conquer this? There's one way. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. He said, you've got to keep God's word in your heart, and you'll be prosperous. Praise the Lord. And you'll have success. You'll be victorious. And this would require divine guidance, divine help. The same is true with you and I as believers today as we face a new year. Is it impossible to live victorious? Overcoming life in a society that has abandoned God and the Bible? Impossible? Yes, but not impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you a little bit here with the words of a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'll spare you that. There's a song that says, in its words, He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build His home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. And that's not a scripture in the Bible, but there's a truth there in the Bible, because God didn't save you to leave you. God didn't give you victory. God didn't fill you with the Holy Spirit so you didn't have any power to live a victorious life. God didn't save you from the ways of sin and the wages of sin and for the pursuit of sin so that you could and abandon you somewhere along the line. God doesn't abandon His people. Amen. I quote it many times. I'm sorry. I have to quote it again. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to quit. He's not going to stop you. You can be victorious. You can be an overcomer. Amen. It doesn't mean you're big and powerful, but the God we serve is big and powerful, and greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do we want to be victorious and prosperous? This is sure we do. Here Israel had to be obedient to God's laws. God's word had to be continually instilled in their minds. This was the old covenant built under the Ten Commandments. And so they couldn't perfectly keep it, but there was sacrifice and atonement and forgiveness of sin when they sinned. God always made a way. And so let me tell you something, friend. If we meditate upon what this world has to offer, it's not going to help us. Yoga's not going to help you. Antifa's not going to help you. Black Lives Matter, any color of life matters. Vaccines will not bring victory, health, healing, or deliverance from their enemies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not running down people. But I'll tell you, but faith in God and His Word will not fail. God's word must have priority in our lives if we want to be prosperous and we want to be victorious. Amen. We are entering a new year not knowing what challenges it will bring, but we do not have to face it in our own inabilities. We can face it in God's ability. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, have faith in God, and God is able to move mountains and barriers out of your way that look impossible, and He has in some of your lives. And if we would have a testimony service right now, you can testify of things God has done in your life that were impossible to move out of the way if He didn't intervene. Praise the Lord. So we can have faith in God. We're not trying to have faith in God. We're not seeing how hard we can believe. That's not what faith is. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we see throughout Scripture that God delivered and God helped ordinary people just like you and I. And so God wants us to be victorious this year. You see, God wants us to have some victory over some bad habits. You know, I know you. Every time you hear a preacher say that, you say, what he's talking about, you know, tobacco and alcohol and all that, yeah. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to smoke, drink, dip, or chew, or run around with people that do. But you see, God can give us some victory over bad habits. God can give us victory over being addicted to a cell phone. Man. There, that's getting home, isn't it? God can give us victory over being addicted to the internet all the time. And it has its place, and there's some good things that come over that, but there's some bad things that come over that too. And there's people that have ministries that and people that are bedfast and have to stay at home, and that's all they can do. Thank God for ministries that go forward on that, and television and radio and wherever, as long as the truth's being taught, that we have to have discernment as to what the truth is and what it isn't. But God can give us victory over things that bother us, or things we have trouble having victory over. And the enemy works overtime to steal your faith and to steal your victory. Amen. And the Bible says that he warns that Satan roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. My friend, if we'll devour this, he won't be able to devour us. Praise the Lord. Devour God's word instead. Is God. God can give you victory over sin and temptation, people, places, and things you should not be associated with. And you say, well, are you going to preach a clothesline sermon? No, I'm not. I'm not going to preach on clothes. Some people don't have enough sense to wear them. But I won't go there. Amen. I got some of them. But God gives us a discernment to know where to go and what to go. Jesus dealt with sinners and publicans and the worst of sinners. He did. He didn't participate in their sins, but he was where they were and witnessed to them and talked to them. Praise the Lord. We got to have a vision for the lost. And so God never planned bondage or defeat for you and I. And he didn't plan it for Israel, but not for us either. God planned victory for you and I. And to be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. His will is not for you to be overcome by sin, but to overcome sin and be victorious. Amen. And so we know that Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. The only overcomer that we will be is if Christ is in us and we're living for God, and you can be victorious and be an overcomer instead of being overcome by everything. Praise the Lord. I've seen Christians, people, they were just, they were trial and tribulation Christians. They just, everything was a trial and tribulation. I mean, they testified about being defeated more than they did about being delivered. But God didn't mean for it to be that way. God, we go through trials so we can have a testimony that we've overcome. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and it was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God in an ungodly world, an unholy world, but he was victorious. He had this testimony that he pleased God. That's the kind of testimony you and I need. Praise the Lord. This past year, we've seen some victories, and we've seen some people who have finished their walk with God and have entered eternal life. None of them would want to come back, even though we miss them. Some have finished their walk of faith and have entered eternal glory. And my friend, that is final victory. When there will be a new heaven and a new earth, victory over sin, over sickness, over death, over disease, no more wars, no more battles, complete victory. That's where we're headed, friend. It's just that some of them have beat us there. Amen. And my dad and my mom, I preached both of their funerals. My dad passed away 94 years old, several years ago now, and but he kept the faith all the way to the end. You know that I miss him desperately. I miss my mother desperately. Would I bring them back from eternal glory back here? Not hardly. They've got it made. They've made it to the place they were always going. They've made it to heaven. My friend, just rejoice. And God will give you grace, comfort, and strength while you walk through this. And sorrow is real, yes, but Jesus bore that on the cross. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, so you don't have to carry them by yourself. God will give you victory. God will give you power. God will give you anointing day by day, step by step. God will walk you through. Just don't abandon him. Stay in his word. Praise the Lord. Last of all, do you want God's promises this year? I think I know the answer to that. Surely we do. God's promises were with them in all their wars and trials. They would go there. They would find out that with God, no army was too strong, no giant too big, no walled city too walled. Amen. And today, no trial, sorrow, or death, or anything that could happen or might happen or you fear that will happen is too big for our God. Most people worry over something. And many people are so worried, they're afraid they won't have anything to worry about if they don't make something up. But God didn't want you to be overcome by worry. As a matter of fact, read Matthew 6. It tells you not to worry. Praise God. And God gives us promises in his word this year. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. You say, well, nobody's ever been through this before. Oh, yes, they have. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes a way of escape. Our responsibility is to take it. Praise the Lord. And so today, Jesus is a present Jesus, not a past Jesus, not somewhere in the heavens that doesn't care. God is present here, now. He's faithful now. He's powerful now. Praise the Lord. He's a loving God now. He will be there when unexpected business comes along, unexpected losses come along this next year. When you lose battles and when you win, God will be there. When things make you angry and you feel like giving up, God will be there to help you and walk you through to victory. Amen. As a matter of fact, wherever you go and wherever you will be, God is already there. Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing surprises him. Praise the Lord. Nothing makes him want to give up or quit. God is familiar with dealing with humanity because he created us. He knows what's in us. He knows what we're made of. He knows every part of your emotional well-being. Physical, whatever. Mental, God knows every part of you. He created us. Praise the Lord. And so when the storms and winds of life rage, Jesus is still present. We find on the Sea of Galilee, no storm that ever came on the disciples in the boat ever threatened Jesus. He just stood up and said, peace be still, and the waters were calm. Man, there may be some rough things to go through, but we have his wonderful promises. Praise God. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. My friend, we belong to the Creator of the ends of the earth. We belong to him. He says to you and I, you're mine. You've given your heart to Jesus. And he says, I have called you by your name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle upon you. I think we could tell, you know, three Hebrew children tell us that they walked through fire and they were not burned without even the smell of smoke upon them when they left. He said, for I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God would be with Joshua as he was with Moses, and the same is with Jesus. He will be with us. He will always be present. Call upon him. Pray to him. Talk to him every day. Praise the Lord. I love the fact that I can talk to God. You don't have to be some super spiritual person. Amen. To talk to God, you can talk to God every day. Like I said this Wednesday night, I'll say it again. A man told me one time after he was saved and hadn't been saved too long. He was an older man. Amen, kind of like me. But anyway, he talked and he said, you know, certain times, he wasn't a strong Christian. He didn't know anything much. He said, I just have to stop and talk to him once in a while during the day. He said, is that okay? I said, that's okay anytime you want to. He said, as a matter of fact, that's a good thing to do. If you can just stop and talk to God during the day. Praise the Lord. And so you can talk to him. Amen. Don't forget his word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Read about people. Read Hebrews chapter 11, how that God dealt with ordinary people just like you and I. You know, we get in the Bible and we think, you know, these people were just super saints. They were bigger. They were better. They knew more things than we did. No, they were ordinary people just like you and I, and called upon God and believed God, and God did things in their life, and God can do things in your life. Amen. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be labeled as, to be the most successful by the world standards, but you can know God, and God will help you. Amen.